This is 2EC playing the South Coast Greatest Hits. Now, a report released today by the Productivity Commission has highlighted the real need for reform within Australia's prison system and criminal justice system. Imprisonment within Australia is at an all-time high, and Stephen King from the Commission joins me to explain why. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Bertie.
Now, Stephen, can you talk to me about this report?
Yeah, so the underlying fact that we have more people in prison per 100,000 of our population than any time in the last century. So in particular, in the last decade, the imprisonment rate's gone up by about 25%. And that tends to suggest there's a crime wave going on somewhere. But in fact, the offender rate is going down. So at the same time as the imprisonment rate went up by 25%, offending rate went down by 18%.
So on the face of it, that doesn't make sense, does it?
That's right. Well, the initial response might be, well, we're locking more people up and that's deterring criminals. And the answer is no. We know from a lot of Australian and international evidence that that's not the case. And so what we did in this report is to try and find out, well, what was driving these numbers?
I suppose the principle they have is deterrence is what you're talking about there, isn't it?
Yeah, but prison has very little deterrent effect on crime. What we show is actually mattering is tough on crime policy. So, for example, in New South Wales, the tough on bail policy have meant that there's been a huge increase in the number of people on remand. So, for example, Australia-wide, 64% of that increase in number of people in prison are actually people who are in prison awaiting trial or awaiting sentence. Other things such as compulsory prison terms, mandatory minimum sentencing, tough on parole policy, they've led to an increase in the prison population. Now, we're not saying that that's the wrong thing. There are many people in prison, around 58% of people in prison, are there for violent offenders. And prison's a pretty sensible outcome from a social perspective for violent offenders. We need to keep the community safe. But there's also a big group in prison who are there for less than 6 months. That accounts for 35% of sentences. They're there often for a range of multiple minor crimes. So, for example, it might be minor property offences, minor theft, drug possession, clearly not drug trafficking, which is a more major offence. And these prisoners often cycle or churn in and out of prison. So they're given a short sentence, they're released from prison. They often have untreated alcohol or drug issues, or they have untreated mental health issues, or they are homeless. About 5% of people going into prison are actually homeless. They've been sleeping rough on the streets or they've been couch surfing. And we release them from prison, but they don't get any support. They have nowhere to go. They end up committing other minor crimes and they end up back in prison again. And so they're on this prison, minor crime treadmill. And they're very, very expensive to the taxpayer. So what we're asking is, well, can we look at some alternatives for this low-risk group which will save the taxpayers some money?
What are some of the alternatives that you're proposing, Stephen?
Yeah, so quite simple things, such as home detention with electronic monitoring has been used. That's often tied in with programs. So, for example, where there is untreated alcohol and drug issues, the individuals, whilst being supervised in the community, must also be actively engaged in alcohol and drug treatment programs, or if there's untreated mental illness, they have to be engaged in with the medical system. And of course, if they don't engage, well, then they're sent to prison at that stage.
Stephen, I've got to ask you, I suppose a large percentage of these prisoners are in there for objectively low drug offences, and in terms of drug law reform, that must be something you would consider, because the drug laws essentially punishing people who might have addictions, and there's a lot of evidence that points to the fact that it might be better for society in general if we treated it as a health issue rather than a criminal issue.
Yeah, so that's not something we look at in this report. We take the offences as given, and I know there is a big debate about not just in Australia, but overseas, about whether marijuana should be legal or not. We don't go into that. Rather, what we're asking is, for the many prisoners, you know, looking about 15% of the people in prison, who are very little risk to community, can we have an alternative which, instead of spending as we do with prison, about $120,000 a year on keeping that person in prison. Can we have an alternative in the community, which is often, you know, a tenth of the price? And if we can do that for a significant group of offenders, we can save a lot of money for taxpayers.
And Stephen, what is your opinion, or what is the commission's opinion on the privatisation of prisons?
Again, not something we've looked at in this particular inquiry. We've simply taken the prison system as given. So the sort of savings we're talking about across both the public and private prisons, where there are private prisons in Australia. And the numbers are pretty startling, though, because if we could just take the least risky 1% from Australia-wide and use alternatives such as community corrections for that group, we're looking at savings of around $45 million a year. That's a fair chunk of taxpayer money.
Okay. Unfortunately, we are running out of time, but just quickly, if somebody's interested in accessing some of the data that you're talking about, is there any way they can do that?
Yeah. So the report's up on the Productivity Commission website, so pc.gov.au. The data and the analysis are in the appendices at the back of the report. So it's a fairly short report. It's about 120 pages in all, and I think it's a pretty good read.
Okay, Stephen, thank you so much for your time today.
No, thank you, Bertie.